to his name indeed. We're thankful this morning that God has woke us up this morning and set our feet on solid ground, allowed us to be able to stand. I believe I'm looking and seeing people that are still standing this morning, and we're thankful. You might be limping a little bit, but, you know, amen. But it's good that God has given us this opportunity to be able to come and to say thank you to him and to be able to worship God for all he's done for us. First and foremost, as we go forward, as you see up there, we want to just welcome anyone who's visiting with us here this morning. If you're visiting with us for the very first time, just raise your hand and put your hand in the air. We won't ask you to do a speech or anything big, but all right. We're among friends and family then, amen. And if you are visiting with us and just chose not to raise your hand, just know you're among friends. But we thank you for being here with us. And on your way out, if you haven't already received a packet of information telling a little bit about who we are, we want to give that to you on your way out. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. And you're actually going to have to use your Bibles today because I didn't put the scripture on the screen. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 18 through 25. It's Father's Day, y'all. I know y'all used to Mother's Day, and we, you know, but it's Father's Day, y'all. Hey, amen. And I'm talking this morning about the man in the background. Hello. The man in the background, the quiet faithfulness of dads who stayed. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus was like this. After his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not willing to make her a public example, intended to put her away secretly. But when he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for it's he who shall save his people from their sins. And now all this happened that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall give birth to a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took his wife to himself and didn't know her sexually until she had given birth to her firstborn son. And he named him Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this time together in your word. Help us to see what we need to see. Help us to process and to understand your word and to apply it to our lives. We thank you for this grace of just being here today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We were having a really good Bible study downstairs, and we started talking about fathers. And there was a moment I started sharing a little bit downstairs in Mark's group. And I almost started crying. I almost started breaking down a little bit. And I recognized some didn't really understand what was happening. So I told them, I'll tell you a little bit more upstairs. Father's Day is complicated. You know, it's complicated for many of us. Many of us. I'm not just speaking for myself. Just like Mother's Day. Mother's Day is complicated as well. You know, every mother wasn't a good mother. Every mother wasn't there. Every mother didn't provide and all that. And so, you know, sometimes we get the shine in all of that. And then on Father's Day, I've been noticing, matter of fact, I've probably been guilty of it myself. Sometimes you come on Father's Day and it's a beatdown on dads. It's an opportunity to tell dads what you ought to do and how you ought to do it exactly right and this and that. Mother's Day, we say, smell your roses and joy. And Father's Day, we say, get your stuff together, man. And so I decided years ago, I was going to stop that. I was going to stop that, and I was going to encourage men to be the men that God called them to be, instead of talking down to them, things of that nature. And then, of course, you know, in my own story, which I want to share a little bit with you, my father was there. We had a great family unit for what I thought as a child. Thought everything was going well, and then probably around 10 years old, 11 years old, somewhere around there, my parents divorced. And then after the divorce, you know, there's four children, and we were given the option, who do you want to stay with? You know, and I remember being like, why are you asking me? Like, you're asking me, from my father that I love, my mother I love, who I want to stay with, you know? But we all went with mom for a while. Then we had a couple years with dad. And then the challenges that sometimes dad was in and dad was out. My father was a very charismatic, loving individual. My dad was a good man that had a lot of serious problems. He loved people and people loved him, and sometimes that love went across into too many other households, if you get my drift. And so it caused a lot of friction in our home, and it caused me to have a distorted view of what is a man? What is a father supposed to be and all of that? And so I had a distorted view of a father who's in and out and here sometimes and then gone sometimes, that has families, a couple families over here and all of that. My uncle, same thing, showed 15 children. My father has at least 11. There's at least 11 of us siblings, four of us from the same mother, but then, you know, and at least, so there are some that I don't know. So it was a challenge. And then growing up, you go, then I become a father. And then you're going, well, what am I supposed to do? And how am I supposed to live? And one thing I knew is I didn't want to do that. But I still didn't have all the tools. And this is what the word is here for, to show us that even when you don't have those models, even if you don't have the direction, even if you don't have the right way, the word is here to give us the model. Jesus is there to be the model. Jesus is there to show us, and God's word is there to give us the direction for the things that we did not have. And so if you want a picture of a loving father, first of all, God the Father has already shown that to us. He's already demonstrated on how he loved on the Son. His Son's already demonstrated on how he loves on the church. He's given us example after example on how it is that we ought to be the men that God has called us to be. It's right there in the Word. All right, that's about as much beating down on men as I'm going to do today. All right, and that wasn't even much, was it? No. Dads. In many families, sometimes, I want you to look at that image for a little bit. That's you. That's you. In the background, you know, like I said, maybe sometimes not as celebrated. Right? Understood, the importance is understood and all of that, but sometimes the people don't give the praise sometimes that's needed. Behind a blessed family, there's a man sometimes carrying more than you even realize what he's carrying. He's trying to hold a family unit together. He's sometimes, as I was sharing, sometimes you have images and those that came before you that didn't give you the right role model and didn't give you the right tools and all that. And we're trying to figure things out sometimes. How is it that I'm supposed to be a man in the world? How am I supposed to make money? How am I supposed to give to my kids? How am I supposed to love my wife as Christ loved the church? I hear those things said, but how does it really work? How is it put into practice? And it's a challenge that this dads are the faithful dads, the real dads that stay and try to work through it, and sometimes are overlooked in all of that, but they're holding on to all these responsibilities, holding on to the pressures of trying to be a man in the world, especially as a Christian man in the world that doesn't really value Christian men as much. And sometimes you don't even get applauded. I'm talking to men right now, but ladies, you can listen too. But brother, sometimes you don't get applauded for the work that you do, for the sacrifices that's made, for the way things that you protect and how you help and how you push and encourage others and all that. Sometimes because of the sound of your voice and the tone of your voice, you're misunderstood. Sometimes you don't even have the right words to be able to string together to put into, because there's some situations that happen and wife might get on you and say something, and I just don't have the words to say back sometimes. Hello, brothers. Kids and situation and all that, and while your heart is there and all that, sometimes the words aren't. And so we're misunderstood. And I want to look, you see that verse there, Matthew chapter 6, verse 4. God is showing us something. I mean, obviously he was talking about our quiet devotions and the things that we do, and he was contrasting that with the Pharisees that were doing things to be seen of men. But this is the point that he continues to make throughout that discourse. He's saying that the God sees you. He sees you when in that quiet devotion. He sees you when you're fasting. He sees you when you're praying. He sees you when you're seeking him. He sees you when you're struggling to be able to be the man that God has called to be, but yet you understand you're in this carnal flesh and having to also war in this flesh. He sees you trying to fight the good fight. He sees you trying to uphold your family and hold them up and protect them from a lot of the dangers that are in this world. And he sees the resistance that the world has and the challenges that come trying to do that. He sees you. And it says in Matthew 6:4 that your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I want to look at Joseph, Joseph's story for example. One of the greatest to me examples of this exact thing that we're talking about. The man who he doesn't have the spotlight on him. He is in the shadows of Mary. He's in the shadows of everything that's going on. But his strength is seen in this story. His resilience and his direction and his guidance and his love for his family and his protection, him protecting his family is seen in this story. But yet, at the same time, he's a man in the background. Do you recognize this about Joseph? There's not one word in the Bible that quotes Joseph. I want you to think about that. It talks about Joseph. It talks about things Joseph did. But you never hear a word that Joseph says. Mary has a song. Hello. But we see Joseph. He's prominent. Don't think I'm minimizing his importance. He's prominent. But yet you don't hear his voice. It says in Matthew 1:19, Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not willing to make her a public example, intended to put her away secretly. Joseph recognized that Mary was pregnant, obviously. If you know the story, he's pregnant from the Lord. And the Lord gave and put Jesus Christ in Mary's womb, and she was going to be the bearer of Jesus and bring him into this world. Joseph didn't understand everything that was going on and all that. And I want you to understand this. What he saw, he didn't see angels and all that. He saw my wife, who I'm engaged to, and I'm she's pregnant. And I ain't do it. Hello. I ain't do it. Hold up now. She pregnant. I didn't touch her. Oh, so I just want you to think about that for a moment, because when you feel wrong, when you feel somebody has wronged you, what do we normally do? She what? I mean, it's time to get on the phone. Can you believe this? Can you, this lady, I can't believe that. No. But I just want you to see what he did before he even knew all the facts and all that. This is the quality of man that we're talking about, who said he was going to put her away privately. All right, I'm going to quietly just go ahead. We're going to because in those times they had to give a written divorce even at this betrothed stage. And so he's saying, you know what? I guess it's over. It's over. It's over. And we're about to make this official, but quietly. Everybody don't have to know. But yeah, we know what happened. The Lord spoke to him. He spoke to him. And that's the key point right there. He stayed. in the midst of these challenges, he protects her. He protects her name. And even when he was willing to throw, you know, to not throw her away like that, but to put her away, he was still trying to protect her. That's the quality of man he was. And yet now when he was given the information that it wasn't another man, the Lord impregnated her, the Lord gave her, and now she's going to be a bearer of the Messiah. And so this is a great honor. And now he's in the mix of this with a great responsibility in his hands. And that's the next point. He protects what God places in his hands. You see, I don't want to make the sermon about me, but I don't know who anyone else to point to right now, so I'm going to just use this story. Like, when my wife and I came together, both of us came together, we both had a child. I had a son that I had been raising for a few years as a single father. My wife had a daughter that she was raising for 11 years, I think 12 years at the point. Ashley was 11 or 12, and Angel was around 5 years old at the time when we got married. And so, you know, obviously that's a challenging thing. And a approach that both of us took was, these are our children. We ain't never used no word step. These are our children. And God placed in our hands even another, our niece Sabrina. And she was ours. She's ours. She is ours still. All right. And we raised five children, and then we had two of our own. So we raised five children together. A great blessing. But the thing is that we came with what do you call this? This nuclear family type of thing. This mixed, is that nuclear family? Blended family. Thank you. This blended family together. Now here we are together. And it's a beautiful thing and a challenging thing, but it was a great thing that taught me and grew me and helped me every step of the way. But here's the key. Look at Joseph. It wasn't the ideal situations, but now he recognizes that God has placed something very precious in his hands. And how does he deal with this? Let's look at verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 13, when it says, "Arise and take your child and his mother and flee into Egypt." I want you to recognize that when, without Joseph, remember, you know the Christmas story that we talk about a lot? Was Joseph instrumental in that Christmas story? Was Joseph instrumental? You know, sometimes he didn't birth. He wasn't in the manger, but he had to get him prepared. He had to get him there. He had to push. He had to, you know, sometimes I'll tell you what, sometimes some of the craziest moments in rearing our children up were Sunday mornings. Oh, I only have one daughter here right now. Okay. All right. But Sunday mornings, trying to get five kids up to get and get out the house and get to the church on time. And, you know, we had to be there first usually. So, you know, amen, Green Bank. But before, we usually had to be the first one there, open up the door and everything. So guess what I had to be? Drill Sergeant Domingo Reyes, at your attention. You know, no, come on. Now, if you walked in my house some Sunday mornings, you wouldn't even know we were Christian. No, it wasn't like that. No, not that bad. No, not that far. But y'all, I think y'all understand what I'm saying. I'm putting a little extra sauce on it just so y'all know. But y'all get it. I ain't the only one, right? It's a challenge. But here's the key. There were some times I had to be that in order for us to get there on time. And I had to turn on a switch and all that. Come on, brother. Friendly fire. Keep coming back, right? All right, y'all. Brothers, we'll talk later on. We'll talk. They're not really understanding. but he protected what was in his hands and what God placed in his hands. And he adapted to the change in situations that were going on. You know, with every different wrinkle and all of that, he had to make changes, and he had to adapt to the circumstances and all that. Herod was after them. Herod wanted to kill him. Well, he had the role, and when he hears the angel tell him to flee and to go, guess what he does? He gets up, and he goes. He moves as the Lord. So, I mean, isn't that what God has called us to do? Be adaptable, be change, and recognize that, you know, God is with us every step of the way, no matter where we're going. And he protects Jesus. He protects not only that, he protects Sister Mary as well. Sister Mary. That sounds good, huh? Then lastly, Luke tells us that Joseph and Mary went to Jerusalem every year for Passover. This means that Joseph helped even institute in Jesus and in his family the importance of worship. And we see them. We see an important time with, you know, what happened with Jesus on their way to worship. And we see the declaration and kind of seeing, you know, young Jesus now sitting at the feet of the elders and being able to open the scripture and share the knowledge and all that. We see the beauty of all that that's going on. But, you know, Joseph had to move them into that place. Joseph had to push them into that. And then also he modeled that for Jesus as well. Jesus was called the carpenter's son. And first and foremost, you know, I think there's a nice sermon I'm going to be bringing soon about being that carpenter and just all the different dynamics of what a carpenter is and how it actually fits into our spiritual life or how we can kind of a parallel to our spiritual life and all that. But one of the things in that is that discipleship aspect of it. Usually the carpenter disciples and models someone else and shares their skill. The master carpenter shares his skill with his apprentice, and the disciple will learn. And I want you to think of that concept for a little bit, because fathers, I want you to think of that as you. You're that master carpenter. You've been through the experiences. You've gone through a lot of things. And now all of a sudden, you're on that stage where we have to feed back and give back and mentor and shape minds and help others that don't know to be able to grow and go in the right way. And like I said, there's so many things. And there's so many. This is not my message right now. I mean, but I'm here talking about it. Mentorship. Man, I said I wasn't going to talk down on nothing, but I think we don't do a good job with mentorship. How many men have just had to try to figure things out so much on our own with no help? The ones I'm talking to, y'all hear me. I know I ain't hearing a whole bunch of amens. Everybody's not the same place. Everybody ain't the same place, but the ones who know. Sometimes we're just trying to figure things out. And as men, it's challenging because you're expected to have it figured out. When you get to a certain age, hello, you're expected to have had it figured out. But I've seen 80-year-old men that are still confused. Age isn't an issue, right? And so All right, I might just keep preaching my sermon because I think I'm going all over the place, and I don't know how to really bring this in. I think because it's so emotional to me and it's so personal to me, I'm not really wrapping it up right. And so I hope you just give me a little bit of grace with that on this morning. But he models it for his children. He modeled it for Joseph. He modeled it and he showed it. And he wasn't the perfect man. He didn't do everything right. He didn't, you know, and like I said, he wasn't the spotlight of anything and all that. But his quiet devotion speaks loudly to us today. He stayed. Listen, if your dad just stayed, if he tried, hello, tried. I know you're saying, oh, you're bringing the bar down. No, I'm not really. Because there are so many, when the changes happened, they left and ran. Maybe that's your story. For me, it was partly my story. until obviously later on we were able to reconcile and change, and I had a little more understanding. I was able to talk to him a little bit more, and we were able to hash some things out, and we were able to get an understanding of all that, but yet the pain is still there. The trauma didn't leave. And so, you know, I guess what I'm really saying in this message is help us, Lord, to be more and more the men that are holding things up, and help us in that time when we don't have the voices screaming our names, but that we know we're just, I'm doing what I got to do in secret. And I know that what I do in secret, God will reward openly. I know that the prayers that I pray for my children and for my grandchildren and for my great-grandchildren and all that, that they're not going in vain. And then even though everyone can't hear and everyone doesn't recognize what I recognize, Lord, that you see that what's done in secret, you'll reward openly. And Lord, help me to just continue to be that. Help me to continue to be the man that you would have me to be, recognizing that God sees me. He sees the stuff you're carrying. He sees your sacrifices. He sees the challenges that we go through in life, and he wants to be there to help us and help us to continue moving forward. I think I share with you probably one of the greatest joys was when Ashley, who's not my biological daughter, took on my name. No one asked her to. And she gave me the best gift ever by taking on my name. And I just want to say to the dads that are out there, let me just say this. This is why it's so important. I'm going to just say this right now, because you don't really understand the significance of that. I mean, yes, the name is significant. But the significance you're not getting is that for years, I was in the shadows in her life. I was in the household. We would go to church, all that. And I felt such a distance, as if she hadn't opened her heart to me completely. And she was still trying to figure, and I'm going to tell you what, she's still trying to figure out, because she had daddy trauma from her biological. And it took a while to figure out, are you like him? Are you going to be like the others are? And so it took a while of that. And for me, that was a moment where I was frustrated, because there were some times, like I said, she's always my daughter and always been my daughter since the first day we met. She's mine. But it wasn't reciprocal. And until, and I remember the first time when she left to go to the Air Force, and I got my first Father's Day card, and it said Dad on there. Man, you want to talk about Niagara Falls? Hello. Yeah. And then when she told me that she changed her name and showed me her ID, and I didn't even know what I was looking at. She gave me the ID in my hand. I'm looking at it like, all right, Ashley Reyes. Okay, here's your ID. She said, did you read it? And then Niagara Falls 2 happened when I really read it and understood what was happening. Yes, yes, yes. But the point is this, it took a long time. It took a while to hear those words. It took a while to get there, and it took a while for me to figure out where I was in her life, but I loved her. And I continue showing that day by day. And that's why she did that. That's why. And so this is an encouragement for you, fathers who are out there, maybe in a similar situation or, you know, and all that. You keep showing up. Keep showing up. Okay, they're divorced now and they're living on the other side of town. Keep showing up. Oh, they've moved down to North Carolina. Keep showing up. They need you and you need them. Keep showing up. If you got to go to the court system, keep showing up. When it's time to get yellow, keep showing up. Pay the payments. Do what you got to do. Maintain that relationship with your children. God has put them in your hands. God put them in your hands. God put them in your hands, and now they're in your hands. What are you going to do with them? Amen. Lord, help us. Help us to rear them up in your way, in the way of the Lord. Help us to teach them and to show them your way, Lord. And help us to be models for them, Lord. Help us to teach them how to pray. Help us to teach them how to worship. Help us to teach them how to be the men and women that God has created them to be. Lord, help us. And help us to see that we have that responsibility that you've placed in our hands. Lord, bless, guide, protect, and help us in that. In Jesus' name. Father in heaven, Lord, this has been an unconventional type of sermon for me this morning. My points were all over the place, but I think your message is clear. Help us, Father, with the challenges of fatherhood. Help us with the challenges of Father's Day, Lord, and help us to, Father, to rejoice and to give a blessing and to give encouragement to those that continue in a striving, Father, to be the men that you've called them to be. Lord, none of us are perfect, but we're striving to be the men you've called us to be. Lord, help us. And help us to pull someone else aside and to encourage them, to mentor them, to show them the way, Lord. The things that we didn't have, Lord, help us to give that to those that you've placed in our hands and in our circles. Bless us, Lord. Guide us, protect us, and keep us. Continue, Lord, and empower us and show us your way. Protect all of us, Lord, and help the fathers, mothers, children alike, Lord. Help us to be your family, leading others to you. Father, we pray and we ask all these things. In Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, we say, amen. 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 I just want, once again, just want to say God bless each of you. Maybe there's someone here this morning, and you know, you recognize that you need to be in a closer relationship, not just with your earthly father, but especially with your heavenly father. God has given to us all things, and he's given to us, and he's shown his love for the world in that he gave his only son to go on the cruel cross of Calvary, to die on that cross of Calvary, God, and be raised again to show that he is Messiah, the Messiah that the prophets had prophesied about and spoken about. And here Jesus comes and fulfills every prophecy and at the cross. And he does that not for himself, but for you and for me. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you're ready to receive what Jesus has given. What Jesus did at the cross, you're ready to receive the salvation made possible by what he did. And all you need to do is hear the message. Jesus died for you. Do you believe that? You recognize that he came, he was buried, he rose again on the third day, which now declares to the world who he is? And are you ready now to surrender in baptism, to give yourself to Jesus Christ, to surrender and say, look, I'm turning away and I'm surrendering all to you. And you say, well, why baptism? Well, that's what Jesus said. Jesus told them to go into the world. Jesus showed them to go preach the gospel and share this message with a world that needs to hear, because this message is called good news. It's a good news message that the world has to hear. And so we're now sharing that with you. Christ died, Christ was buried, and Christ rose on the third day according to the scriptures. Do you believe it? And if you do believe it, are you ready to now be in this same story? Immerse yourself into his story. See, he died, he was buried, and he rose. And now today you can die to your sins. You can be buried in that water grave of baptism, and you also can rise to walk in newness of life. Jesus did it in order to give us example. This is your opportunity now. Will you come? Will you surrender? Will you be plunged in that water grave of baptism? Allow him to wash away your sins. Now allow him to reconcile and bring you back to himself, to the Father, and now into a family that will enable us and help us to be able to encourage us along the way. Maybe you're here this morning. This will be the best Father's Day of your life, whether you're a father or not. Amen. It'll be the best Father's Day of your life if you're ready to receive Jesus this morning, ready to come right now in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're ready.